For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. We have a lot to talk about today. A lot of stuff happened this weekend, Rutgers related. Obviously, we got a commitment this weekend on the football side from 2025 DB Renick Derillis, who was previously at Union High School. He's now at Don Bosco. We have half a dozen updates in the transfer portal for Rutgers basketball, along with Joe Harris-Simiak speaking this past weekend and other recruits on campus. It was a big recruiting weekend for football on Saturday, so we'll have all that. But first, the presenting sponsor of the Night Report podcast is Night and Day Apparel, calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans. Are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered, from t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories. Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description below to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional materials. Shop now and keep chopping.
I need to bring this up. They just restocked it. If you have pool, you got to get this float. I don't know if I should share the screen because we have like upload issues, but I'm going to do it anyway. Screw it. Where is it? There it is. Chrome tab. Look at this bad boy. How can you not want that?
That is pretty cool.
You want that floating around your pool? A nice summer day.
That's pretty sick.
It's pretty sick. And 90 bucks, not the worst in the world. Look at that. Such a nice like little accent off the blue pool. So
love that.
I would go get yours today and use that promo code Rutgers Rivals. You get 10% off. So save yourself a couple bucks.
Absolutely. And with summer just around the corner, you need to restock on some of those things.
Of course.
But we also are sponsored by the Cut app. As you know, we've sponsored Cut, the social betting platform. It is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that allows you to directly bet against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can bet against us, the TKR crew, on Cut today. And bet on your favorite sports, pop culture, political topics, whatever you're kind of into. They have a lot of different things you can make. You can also make your own custom bets. It's the ultimate place to put your money where your mouth is, and it's legal in 40 plus states. You could also follow them at Cut Bet on all your social media channels and download the app via the App Store or cut.com. If you use the promo code Believe Rutgers, that's BLEAV Rutgers, you get a 10% deposit bonus when you sign up. All right, let's hop right into the latest commitment for the football program, Renick Derillis. He is, I think he's a 5'11", 160-pound DB. Previously, like I said, at Union High School, he just transferred to Don Bosco Prep. His nickname is Stretch, so Stretch Derillis. What can you tell us about this kid? I know you put in a future cast a long time ago for this kid, so shouldn't have surprised anybody that he ended up at Rutgers.
Yeah, it's been a minute. So he was down to Rutgers in Tennessee, technically, back in January. But he released the top five instead, and some kids do that. They have top five lists and stuff like that. But Tennessee made a serious push here, and Rutgers beat him out. Rutgers flat out beat them out. he's a Union kid since 2000. I think I put it in the article. Since 2007, there were seven D1 prospects out of Union High School. Six of them have went to Rutgers. The one,
and all seven were committed to Rutgers at one point.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that.
Sorry.
They did. You're good. They did end up losing David Igbinosin, who's now at Ohio State, I think. Yeah, he went from Ole Miss to Ohio State. So that one hurt a little bit, stung a little bit for Rutgers. But this kid's pretty good. Top 10 prospect. Now he's playing at Don Bosco Prep. does a little bit of everything for his high school team. Now, he's an athlete, but he's going to be a cornerback at the next level. He's very skinny. 5'11", 170 is what he says he's listed at. I'm going to say he's 5'11", like 160. He needs to put on some weight, significant weight. And when he early enrolls, that's going to help him a lot. Body or built by Butler is the hashtag. So I'm sure Jay Butler will have a field day working with him and putting on the pounds. But yeah, he threw a pass last year. He ran the ball 19 times, hauled in 35 receptions, five touchdowns, 500 receiving yards, 41 tackles, two tackles for loss. Or not two tackles for loss. That's wrong. I didn't update that. Two forced fumbles, one fumble recovery, two interceptions, one of which was for a touchdown. Like, the kid does a little bit of everything. He's your tall, lengthy corner that Shiano likes. He's got really long arms. There's nothing really good closing speed. It's pretty physical for his size too, and he does use that to his advantage, which is nice. Because you would figure at 160 pounds, he's not going to be too physical, but he is. Really good tape, top 10 kid in state, high upside, 5.73 star, borderline 4-star. Like, this is like a really, really good get for Rutgers, and it just keeps building on this pretty solid recruiting class that has four commits now. So yeah, well, nice little solid start there. Three of which are from Jersey.
Yeah, you love to see the Jersey connections because, I mean, last year, widely regarded as a pretty down year in Jersey, but 25 is one of the better years in recent memory, so expect Rutgers to be much more involved with this class than they were last year in Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
What's the story behind him transferring to Don Bosco? Is there anything there that Rutgers fans should be concerned about, or is another kid transferring?
Mostly just another kid transferring. He's going to early enroll. So when you go up to those prep schools, that definitely helps a little bit, makes the process a little easier for admissions and all that other stuff. But no issues there at all academically. Smart kid, really good prospect. And you get to play some better competition too. That's not a knock on Union, who's usually pretty solid when it comes to developing guys, but it's just more so the Big North is the Big North at the end of the day. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see kind of how he's going to fare against this a little bit step up in comp. So, yeah, I mean, they get other stuff too. Like, the prep schools have like better weight rooms and stuff like that. They have more coaches dedicated to football. Like, it's just how it works. So yeah, this is exciting. And you said it before, but the fact that he's the 2025 class in New Jersey is the deepest class I think I've ever seen in my life. I've been covering it football for 11 years now, or recruiting at least, 11, 10 years, 12 years, something like that. But this is the deepest New Jersey class I've ever seen. I can't speak for my time before that, but it's like we're at 60-something prospects that have Power 5 offers.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty high praise. You've recently celebrated your 6th anniversary of running the site today, so congratulations to you on that. But to say that it's the deepest you've ever seen, that's saying something. So stay tuned, because speaking of the class in general, Rutgers had a pretty big contingent of recruits on campus for Saturday's practice. Tell us a little bit about who was on campus, some early reactions, guys that you thought came out of the trip with a really high opinion of Rutgers.
Yeah, so it was a really deep list. Now, Keanu Johnson, wide receiver, 2025, I'm keeping an eye on. He has an official visit for June as well. Just another trip to campus. I think he visited in January, too, for a basketball game. I want to say it was the Purdue game, but I don't remember which game it was exactly. Got his offer after that visit in January, and then he's really been big on the Big Ten. Big Ten football is huge to him. He loves the idea of playing at the highest of high levels. So he's one to keep a close eye on. I'm close to a future cast with him, but not just yet. Jaden Elijah commit, Talibi Kaba. Jeez, I can't talk. The two commits that are both pretty solid. It's good to get Elijah back on campus because there were some rumors swirling that he might be looking around a little bit, but getting him back on campus, getting him back in the fold, it seems like pretty good. Eden Buchanan, 2025 offensive lineman. We actually submitted a future cast right after his visit. Was able to talk to him a little bit. Good Council High School, a school that produces at a high rate down in Maryland. He's also considering West Virginia. Now he has official visits to Rutgers and West Virginia for June. So keep an eye on those two. I think Rutgers should be able to seal the deal following that visit. But you never know. Who else? Maxwell Roy, four-star defensive tackle out of St. Joe's Prep. He likes Rutgers a lot. He's been there quite a bit. I still think he's probably going to go elsewhere. I know Ohio State's making a nice little push for him. I forget the other top schools in his list, but he's got like every offer basically known to man. So it's going to be a tough one, tough haul. Renick Derillis obviously committed after the visit. And then Tariq Hayer out of St. John's College down in Maryland. That's a four-star safety. I think we have him severely underrated, and that's saying something when he's already a four-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he should be in the Rivals 250 for sure, and he probably will in the next update if I had to guess. But he's just – he scheduled a Rutgers official visit right afterwards, after this unofficial. So it kind of tells you where they sit. Now, Cincinnati's pushing. Maryland's pushing. I was told it's going to be a little bit NIL involved in this one if you want to land him. So we'll see if Rutgers can pony up and get him.
Yeah, a big list there. Did you mention the kid from Tampa Bay Tech that kind of visited out of nowhere too?
No, I've completely forgot about him. How do I forget about the number 27 overall prospect in the country? yeah, Dallas Wilson, wide receiver, Tampa Bay Tech, came on a visit Saturday. He plays in the OT7. So if you don't know what OT7 is, it's like a 7-on-7 league, essentially the new version of AAU. It's like the EYBL basically. They have like, I think they have like 40 teams or something like that. Travel all across the country, plays for Miami Raw. Now, if you've heard me say Miami Raw 7v7 before, you have probably, because Corey Duff, played for them last year. So he's one to keep a close eye on. He's close with Duff. I was told they both obviously wide receivers. Rutgers hasn't technically offered Dallas Wilson yet. He is also committed to Oregon. He's been committed there since January 2023. However, that has not stopped him from taking visits, as he just visited Miami in January. He has an official to Florida in June. I think he also visited – who else did he visit? Someone else. I can't remember who it was. Visited somewhere else last year. Now this kid is 27 overall in the country. Like, he's probably – I can't say probably. He more than likely will be a 5-star, I guess, if just based on his ranking alone. Maybe he has to jump like a couple spots to be a 5-star, but this is like a borderline 5-star kid, and Rutgers got him to campus. So that's just huge.
Yeah, no, I mean, even if he is only coming up just to check things out, I mean, mm-hmm. for a kid to be ranked that highly, checking out campus on his own dime, and it's not like his whole team was here. It wasn't just mm-hmm. like some team trip that you see sometimes. That is something to file away for sure. Obviously, Shiano's cleaned up in the Tampa Bay area recently. I don't know if Tampa Bay Tech is coached by somebody Shiano has a close relationship with, but
they did land a Tampa Bay Tech kid. I forget who it was, or there was a Tampa Bay Tech kid a couple years ago. I remember that was a big name. They do produce a lot though, so it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. The last thing I had on football, obviously, the football spring schedule will continue. It's going to be a practice every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday mm-hmm. for the rest of the year, or the rest of the month, I should say. This week, obviously, weather doesn't look great, so they'll be probably practicing in the bubble, so you'll be able to be there to check out some more stretching. but on Saturday, they will have a scrimmage, and the weather – I think it's supposed to be a little nicer. Just tell us about kind of the rest of the week, football recruit or football spring practice wise.
Yeah, real quick, going back to the Tampa Bay Tech, Henry Hughes, Tampa Bay Tech. I knew there was one.
Okay.
Yeah, so Henry Hughes went to Tampa Bay Tech, so I guess a little bit of a connection there as well. So they are familiar with the program. But besides the point, this week I forget who we get this week. Pat Flaherty. We get Pat Flaherty this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we get to talk to him. I don't think we've actually ever talked to him before, if I had to guess. Did we talk to him last year? Maybe we did. Yeah, we did in spring practice. So we get to talk to him. That's going to be fun. I don't know who the other two coaches or other coach is, because the Saturday will probably be Shiano following the scrimmage. But, a couple players this week we'll probably get. I put in requests for some guys. I really want to talk to Malcolm Ray, so hopefully we get him, but won't know until tomorrow. And then who else did I put in? Someone else, too. I forget. Where's this list? I also put in for Sam Brown. I want to talk to Sam Brown about his past and history and the injury history and all that, and then how he kind of bounced back in the Pinstripe Bowl and how he could kind of be like a 1-2 punch with Mnanga and all that good stuff. So we'll wait and see if we get those approved or not. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Just another normal week of spring practice. In the bubble sucks because the bubble just sucks.
Yeah, not ideal by any means, but no. Be cool to actually see some real game action on Saturday for a scrimmage.
Yeah,
not that you'd be excited. Able to say much on it, but
no, probably not. But we can read the tea leaves when you get the Shiano press conference.
Yep, definitely. The last Rutgers football related thing I have is Joe Harry Simiak spoke on Saturday in his presser. I thought he said a lot of interesting things. He's just a very engaging guy in general. Is without substance when he's on the mic. Not that, you know, Shiano gives his assistants many opportunities to do that, but I thought he had a lot of really interesting nuggets that came out of his presser. What did you find interesting that Harry Simiak said on Saturday?
I mean, the Kaj Sanders thing was the most interesting. I know specifically asked about Kaj Sanders, but he did rave about him quite a bit. He's just a really freak athlete. Now, I don't think he's going to play much this year. Maybe special teams, if I had to guess. But similar role to like a Sage Claudius type, where you get a lot of special teams reps, and then next year you go in you're on a 2D probably, if I had to guess. Especially because Loyal will be leaving, Dixon will be leaving. I think Igbinosin will be leaving too. So you'll have a lot of openings next year. And he can kind of play that Igbinosin role, I feel like, where it's almost like a slot corner, but you're really not. You're still a safety, quote unquote. I think he can move him around a bit. And he'll just keep putting on weight. But that was probably the biggest takeaway from that. But he just speaks really well. We were speculating about this in the media room the other day, like, Shiano's what? How old is he? 63? No, 57.
I was going to say, I don't think he's even 60 yet.
Yeah, 57. I mean, people speculate on the boards like, who's going to be here in 8 years? Pike or Shiano? And it's like, if you're Harris Simiak, you kind of just wait it out and just, like, you could be a head coach in waiting. I know it's not in his contract right now, technically, but it makes a lot of sense.
That really never really seems to work out. Like, if you think of famous head coach in waiting, I know that Will Muschamp famously was a head coach in waiting at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bolted for Florida, I think.
Yeah.
He was at Texas. Another one's escaping me. I think Lincoln Riley was named head coach in waiting. Either he was, or, you know, after Stoops retired, it was like immediately installing Riley. I don't know. I just don't think that's traditionally worked out, because, I mean, let's be honest, if Rutgers has a really good year this year, like we expect them to, Harris Simiak is going to have head coaching opportunities.
Yeah.
I do think that the biggest caveat now is that these head coaching opportunities at the
G5
level are like not attractive at all, or at least nowhere near as attractive as they used to be, simply because you're fighting just an even harder battle with these programs because you don't have the resources that they have. Like, you previously didn't have the facilities, and that was a big draw, but at least you could offer playing time. Now, if you don't have the facilities or the NIL packages to offer these kids, you're at such a big disadvantage, where you're seeing guys make decisions where they know that they're not coming in with any kind of role promised to them, but because of the money they're getting offered, it's too much to turn down.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the more I think about it too, he did interview at several spots this offseason, so it's like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So never mind. Forget I said anything.
Yeah, no, not to shoot your idea down. I just think it's
just tell me I
think it'd be hard to keep him around for like another even 5 years.
Who knows? Maybe next year. Like, you never know. Like you said, they get eight plus wins. And you're looking at offers from, hey, Minnesota might open up, and they have a DC on contract already that you know.
Yeah.
Speculating, but you never know.
That's kind of all we got on the football side. Let's transition to basketball. Mm-hmm. We got a very interesting Smoke Williamson boom tweet this morning. The last time he boomed, it was about Malik Ewan.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Which we all know kind of, you know, ended up not materializing, but not necessarily because of anything Rutgers did. The boom tweet, we kind of knew what was going on behind the scenes. We weren't really supposed to be talking about it until Charlie Donovan dropped it and then became public. So the boom tweet is about Tyson Acuff. And if that's a name that sounds familiar, it is because it is Darius Acuff, the five-star player out of 2025's cousin. Darius Acuff was the eighth leading scorer in the nation last year at Eastern Michigan. He averaged almost 22 points a game. This is a guy who certainly can go get a bucket. He was kind of the only guy in his team last year, though. What are you hearing about the Tyson Acuff situation?
Troy Donovan basically hinted at it. He said Rutgers is, I shouldn't say hinted at it. He did say it. He said Rutgers is the favorite. And it sounds like that's true. So we'll wait and see what happens if they can lock him up. But I mean, Smoke Williamson with the tweet, it all kind of, when there's smoke, there's fire. Haha. It wouldn't shock me if this ends up happening. Now, he's eighth leading scorer, max leading scorer. Like he could score, obviously. Sure. And this was the worst offensive team in high major basketball. I have to repeat that every time we do a pod because people just don't understand that the worst scoring team in basketball.
You're talking about basically. Rutgers here, not yes. talking about yes.
No, not Eastern Michigan, although they were pretty bad in general. But yeah, so I think I'm just looking at him, watched his tape this morning. I think he's a six man, in my opinion. Now, you're probably sitting there like 20 points per game, six man. And he does have some flaws. His defense is questionable. He does average over two turnovers a game, which is an issue. But if I think we said it off the pod, you said it specifically. What was it? Like against high major teams or quality opponents, he doesn't turn it over as much or something.
So he played three opponents this year that were in the top 100 of Bart Torvik's rankings, and his turnover percentage is only 5%, which is really good. His usage rate, I mean, on the season was 30% against the top 100 quality teams. He had a usage rate of 32%. Obviously, he was a guy that Eastern Michigan relied on really heavily this year. He was the only player on Eastern Michigan's squad that played at least 2/3 of the team's minutes this year, and he played 84% of the minutes. So he just didn't really sit when he was playing. And every time they went down the court on offense, he was either, you know, taking the shot or dishing it out. I think he took a lot of really tough shots this year because he had to. He only shot 29% from three after he shot 34%, I believe, in 2023. But he is a really good free throw shooter. He's a career 81% shooter from the line. So typically, when scouts are looking at a guy for upside in terms of becoming a better shooter, they look at free throw percentage and usually use that as a proxy to determine if they could improve their three-point shooting. So 81% from the line tells me that he could probably be significantly better than he was from deep this year. So I think in an off-ball role, he could certainly be, like from a pick-and-pop shooting standpoint, a much better – I think he could be closer to a 40% from three than 30%, which he was this year.
Yeah. Can create his own shot too, which, I mean, can't stress this enough. Most of these guys last year could not. That's huge. Can score at the rim, 66% field goal percentage when at the rim. 29% of those out of all his attempts this past year, 29% of all his attempts were at the rim. And like you said, a good free throw shooter. So it makes sense. You get hacked. You're going to get hacked. I mean, in a Big Ten, especially maybe not against Edie because Edie gets every call, he's a good passer. He's a good scorer. Like you can't really ask for much more. Now, like I said, the turnovers are a little concerning. The defense is probably the more concerning part because you don't really know how good he is on the defensive end. But if anyone can mold a player into a good defensive player, it would be Steve Pikul and crew. Can't stress that one enough. So they need buckets. Yeah. That's the name of the game now. You got to score. You got to score significant points, and this is going to help if they get
them. I think the biggest thing that makes me feel better about his defense is he did play just so many minutes this year compared to his teammates that he was just gassed probably. that's not to say he would be like an above average defender if he was playing, you know, 25 minutes versus, you know, 30 plus or whatever he's at. He played like 35 minutes a game this year. That's not to say you'd be a significantly better defender, but if he's playing on a bad team, which he did this year, and he's having to shoulder basically the entire offensive burden, it's going to affect your ability to play good defense. I think last year is probably a better indicator of what he could be at Rutgers this year. Last year, I don't know how they did this. Eastern Michigan had Imani Bates, who's now in the NBA. He was, you know, the Uber recruit out of Michigan. He spent a year at Memphis and ended up transferring to Eastern Michigan. And they had Noah Farrakhan. So they had Farrakhan, they had Imani Bates, and they had Eastern Michigan, and they had Tyson Acuff. Somehow they went 8-23 in the MAC with those three guys. I don't know how you do that.
Fire that coach, right? You have to.
That's unbelievable to me that they were that bad with those three guys. But anyway, Tyson Acuff was a much better shooter last year, percentage-wise, playing more of an off-the-ball role. His usage rate was 20% last year as opposed to 30% this year. I think he's played in a 1B, 1C type situation with other top players, which is a good thing because you kind of get to see how he would react to that. So I think in a situation where he's either a starter in a three-guard lineup or the sixth man off the bench, I think this is about as good of a player you could ask for in that kind of role, which is a scorer who can make his own shot. He's a proven guy. You know, this is the eighth leading scorer in the NCAA this past season. Anybody who has a problem with this kid ending up at Rutgers is kind of deranged, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, pretty spot on there. it's just crazy. Like, you need scoring. You need scoring. And not only does this help with the scoring, but he can do other things too. Like, he's just a decent player. And if he's not starting,
he's better than decent. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like, if you can get him as a six man, you take him every day of the week. I can't stress enough. Offense is the name of the game. Now you have no choice anymore. You have to score buckets. Now, like I said, his defense is questionable, but Pyke will handle that. That'll be fine. This is a good get. Plus, he's got connections. He's cousins with Darius Acuff. So, as long as this happens, which it seems like Troy kind of hinted that they're the favorite. So, I feel like if it was official, Troy would have said it was official. But I'm trying to find the max leading scorer last year to like do a. No, the max leading scorer was a senior last year. That sucks.
So last year, if you look at there's two things that I kind of wanted to hit on before we move on to other stuff. His size, he's got legitimate size as a guard for the Big Ten. He's listed at 6'4", I think 190.
That's huge. Yeah.
Which, you know, if a guy is, you know, scoring 22 points a game in the MAC and he's, you know, listed at 5'11 or something like that, that'd be one thing. But he's listed at 6'4", so he's got legit size. Last year, when he was playing like a Robin role to the Batman of Imani Bates, his effective field goal percentage was 55.2%. His true shooting percentage was 58.7%. This year, his effective field goal percentage was 47.8% and 51.8% true shooting. So I do think you'll see his numbers take a healthy bounce upwards when he's playing more of a secondary option role rather than having to be the guy for an entire offensive team.
So here's an interesting point. Toledo's leading scorer in 2023, he was the number two leading scorer in the MAC that year, or last season, or 20 previous season, whatever. He had 19.5. This year he's at Baylor. He averaged 13.5. Similar numbers shooting-wise. Put up similar numbers in almost every category, actually. Put up better numbers with assists, similar rebounds, similar steals, similar everything. So, I mean, if you can get like 13, 14 points per game out of this kid, that's huge. Considering Ace is probably going to average, I would say, around the 20 mark. Dylan's probably going to average around 15 to 17 at least, if not more.
You're talking about points per game?
Yeah. They're probably more. I'm probably shooting under, but.
No, I'm saying I'd be surprised if Ace scores 20 points a game.
I think so.
It's very lofty. Might.
He's going to shoot a lot.
He's going to shoot a lot, but you also got to realize this is, you know, a Rutgers offense here. They're not known for their offensive prowess. Not saying that we won't take a big step forward with better talent next year, but I think projecting anybody for 20 points a game is a little lofty.
But I'm optimistic here with this. I think people are going to be a little shocked.
Yeah, I, I agree. I'm just being cautiously optimistic next year, not to put too much expectations on 17 and 18-year-olds playing in the Big Ten. But.
Perfectly fair.
Let's go on to some additional players who aren't 17 or 18. Let's kind of do a rundown of the latest on a bunch of different portal targets, starting with the Princeton duo. They will be taking official visits this weekend at Rutgers starting Friday. Zach Martini and Matt Alaco. Where do you stand? Where do you think Rutgers stands with both of those guys? Can we possibly maybe see them wrap up their recruitments this weekend?
Sounds optimistically. Now, mind you, before we go too far off Acuff, even if they get Acuff, they're still in the market for another guard.
Yes.
Like there's plenty of room. There's four, probably five ships that are open on this team. Because we're still waiting on the one announcement, but they're definitely still in the market for other players. Martini would help a ton. Like I said, a great shooter, four man. We've been talking about him. He was on campus Thursday, I think, for an unofficial. Now he's coming back a week after. Come on, let's be honest. We all know what's going on here. It's probably only a matter of when, not if, for him. Now Alaco is a little bit of a different situation. He was supposed to visit last week with Martini, but went home for Easter instead. Now he's going to visit this weekend, it sounds like, and I think that's your starter right there if you get him. It sounds like Rutgers is pretty optimistic, is looking pretty optimistic to land both of those kids. You land those two, you land Acuff, land a transfer big. Now you're talking with – you're playing with fire now. Now you got some weapons. Not only can, like, Ace score, Dylan can score. You got a guy that's the nation's eighth leading scorer. You get Alaco, who's pretty damn good at scoring. Martini can hit from deep when needs to be. He scored double digits over, like, I think 8 or 9 times. I don't know, more than that. 10-plus times this year. So now you're playing with some offensive firepower if you can get into all three of those guys. But it does sound pretty good so far with Martini and Alaco. We'll just have to wait and see till the weekend probably, or maybe even Monday, because those visits tend to take a day after or two to collect your thoughts and then make your decision. Unless you're Ace Bailey, then the game's over and you're like, hey, I'm committing.
Yeah. But obviously, it's a good thing. The staff, I know, feels very confident in landing both those guys as well. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So be interesting to see how things shape up, because for some strange reason, we were talking about this off the pod, there is a There's a dead period coming up for college basketball recruiting, which you wouldn't think would happen right in the middle of the portal season, but it is. That is, I believe, the week of the 7th of April.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's good to get guys in before the dead period.
The portal's open during the Final Four.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's insane.
Let's run through some guys now that Rutgers has. We've confirmed Rutgers is showing interest in. First, let's start with Zach LaPute. He is the D2 guard out of Connecticut. I don't remember the exact school. Where do things stand with him and Rutgers? And is this a guy that Rutgers is kind of pushing for?
They're not really pushing. It's more so just early interest. They casted a pretty wide net for guys. You see it now. Like, just go on our portal thread. There's like 7 guards. There's like couple forwards, there's a couple big men. Like, they're just casting a wide net. They're reaching out. So Mike Larkin, their special assistant to the head coach, I forget his exact role or whatever it is. He might be assistant coach now because you can have 5 of them. But yes, he reached out. He used to coach in that league, in the D2 league over there, so it makes sense. He knows his game, knows people down there, so I'm assuming one of them just reached out and was like, hey, you gotta check this kid out. Reached out to him, said what's up. He's supposed to have a coach call with Coach Peichel sometime this week. I think Rutgers has a little bit of interest. I don't think it's super serious, because if you land, say, Acuff, you land Alaco, you're probably done with guard. Now, this could be like a lower down the list option. I'd still even probably look into bringing this guy. If you're going to run 3 guard lineups, bring him in. It can't hurt. Like, the guy can score, shoots 40% from 3, 46 from the field. Like, it's pretty good. And D2 level or not, like, you could, if you're shooting at that level and hitting, like, you can hit at just about any level. Maybe just be a spot up guy. Maybe just be the backup dude for the most part. Hey, you want to go make a run at the Final Four with us? Come on, like, hop on board. It's the Rutgers bus driven by Andy Katz. Just grab a seat.
Yeah, no, it's we're casting a wide net, like you said. This kid, I think, is getting a lot of hate on the Rutgers fan side because he is D2. But I mean, if you just look at some of the top teams in the country, they landed D2 kids and they're impact players. You look at Washington State, you look at Colorado State, you look at obviously, you know, Golkey with Oakland this year. Mm-hmm. There was, I think, five or six NCAA tournament teams that took a D2 guy this past year and was an impact player for their roster. And I also think you have to think of, you know, with how high school prospects end up at different schools now, you know, I think there's probably been about a 30% drop off with the amount of scholarships given out to high school students in D1 basketball, if not higher, because those guys are now getting scholarships to transfer portal guys. So the guys who would typically be like the last scholarship given out to a D1 basketball player are now going to, you know, the lower levels. So these, there's never been more talent at the D2 or D3 level than there is right now because of this. Yeah. So I think you have to keep that in mind where guys are slipping through the cracks now more often because their scholarships aren't available out of high school.
Yeah. Some people are like, they see the lists too. It's like Furman and random schools. I forget George Washington, Davidson. Yeah, he's probably a starter for most of those schools. Like Louisville reached out. Do we want to talk about that? Like people were complaining about Martini, and then Maryland reached out, and everyone's like, "Oh, we got to get him. We got to get him now." It's like, "Oh, now everyone wants him. Now it's like shiny new toy. I want that." Like
exactly.
Didn't like him when the tape was there though, and he was pretty good. And
yeah, nothing has changed about this guy other than who's now showing interest. So
yep.
Another guy Rutgers is showing interest in though, Ruben Chinyelu. He is a big man out of Washington State. And if you're saying to yourself, that name sounds familiar, it's because Rutgers finished second in his recruitment a year ago. He has entered the transfer portal. What are you hearing about Ruben Chinyelu?
So Ruben actually worked with the same guys over in Africa that Emmanuel Ogbo worked with. I have a couple feelers out to see what the scoop is with him, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see where he ends up. I know Rutgers is definitely very interested again. It makes sense. He's a very good prospect. He didn't play a ton of minutes. He was a 4-star, but he didn't play a ton of minutes. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But I think they have a decent shot there. I think they're definitely – like the Amari Williams situation is going to be tough, I feel like, for them to land him. So you have to start looking at other avenues, and this is one of those guys.
Yeah, for me, this Chinyelu is still a very raw player. He only played 14 minutes a game this year for Washington State. He averaged 5 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, 1.5 blocks a game, but he also averaged 2.2 fouls per game. And that's the issue. This is all in just 14 minutes a game. So obviously some of the numbers, like the rebounding numbers and the block numbers are gaudy. Those are really positive signs, but 2.2 fouls a game just shows that he doesn't fully he hasn't fully mastered defensive basketball. If you remember early in Cliff's career, he had a ton of games where he was in foul trouble early. Sounds similar to Chinyelu. Certainly be love to have him as a developmental guy, but I don't think you can necessarily rely on him to be your starting big next year outside of some kind of transformation in the offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think you still need to get someone with like a ton of experience, but that's just me.
Totally agree. Another guy who doesn't have a ton of experience, who Rutgers has previously shown interest in as a high school recruit and now is showing interest in once again, now he's in the portal, is Gus Yeldon, the big out of Wisconsin, who we previously, I think, discussed. His nickname was Baby Jokic. What are you hearing about Gus Yeldon?
Yeah, so they're definitely interested in him again. It's going to be intriguing to see who else kind of shows interest because he did redshirt this past season. I believe they have a starting big man. I can't remember his name. And then they brought in a transfer, I thought, or something. I forget why. There was a reason behind his red shirt. I forget the exact reasoning. The kid from Minnesota, Crowell. So Crowell was there. He's a junior. He still has another year. So it sounds like Gus is just trying to get out and trying to get some playing time. Now I'm intrigued to see how he fits. He has really good passing skills. He has a really good offensive skill set. Can he run up and down the court with these guys? I don't know, but I think his skill set offensively at least is enough that you have to at least peek into him and see like if you could mold him into something special. He's a little undersized. I think he's 6'8" or 6'9", but he's got the weight to him. I forget how much weight he has to him, but he's been trying to reshape his body at Minnesota, at Wisconsin. It sounds like he's 6'9", 245 listed. So they'll reach out. But again, I still think you need someone with experience. That's the biggest issue.
Yes, you definitely need an experienced big to anchor posts for them, because you're kind of, your expectations are all dumped into next year, and you can't just hope a guy develops like we've previously talked about.
Well, I think Acuff just became official.
Okay. Some breaking news on the pod. Where are you seeing this?
His quote-unquote management group, a.k.a. ran by his uncle, I believe. Yeah, Prestige Management Group, Prestige Management LLC. Yeah, it looks like they just said he committed to Rutgers, and it's like a little graphic with him as the Rutgers logo.
Yeah, so I mean, this was swirling for a few days now.
Let's see. Well, you guys can see how the inner workings of how this works.
Yeah, so Prestige Management Group is, like Richie said, who represents Tyson Acuff. It's run by, or his agent is his uncle. So you got to take this for what it's worth. But it sounds like Rutgers has officially landed him, and that's what we've been hearing for a few days now. But kind of cool to see it finalized during the pod. I know this isn't great content for the podcast, but everything that applies previously that we said about Tyson Acuff applies to how we feel about him. I do think landing between him and Olako, I think both will play starters amount of minutes if we land Olako, but Tyson Acuff is currently, I would imagine, leader in the clubhouse at the moment to be the fifth starter alongside Dylan Harper, Jeremiah Williams, Ace Bailey, and the transfer big man, whoever that ends up being.
To be determined on that one. But yeah, no, I think Tyson Acuff is a pretty good get. Like I said, scorer, that's all you really have to say is he's just a scorer. Like, he can put the bucket through the hoop, and there's people there's people that, like, last year you saw it too many times. Like, you just they can't score. Like, now, like, you're just adding weapon after weapon after weapon after weapon. Like, this has a chance to be something really special, and adding guys like this is only going to help things.
Yeah, and you could coach up a player to be a better defender, because half of defense, honestly, is about intensity, and it's about positioning. If you know where you're supposed to be in a defense, whether it be, how you should position yourself, not only from, like, a – because a lot of these concepts aren't, like, particularly complicated, like man-to-man defense. You know, you've played that your whole life. Zone defense, you've played that your whole life. There's variants of both of those, but it's about getting around screens. It's about, you know, hustling. I'll talk a little bit more. You could go on mute. But a lot of these concepts aren't really, they don't vary a whole lot. So Pykele has shown he could turn players into elite defenders from good defenders, and take guys from average defenders into good defenders and bad defenders into average defenders. So I expect a similar transition for Tyson Acuff. And I think what we talked about before applies. The kid was playing so many minutes this year. You can't expect him to be the entire offense and to be a good defender. It's just not realistic. The last portal big that we wanted to hit on, that we had a specific name for, and I'm saying a specific name for because there's rumors of an international player being looked into. But the last name that I had on here, Chilly Donovan said earlier today that he's considering putting in a prediction for this kid to enter the portal, but he hasn't done it yet. So just a name to keep on the radar is Andrew Carr. He is the big man out of Wake Forest. Rutgers should be pretty aware of who this kid is since they played him the last 2 years. Andrew Carr is a 6'10", 220-pound, big, very well-rounded offensive game. He's a guy who shot 37% from three this past year on three attempts a game. He also averaged 13.5 points a game, 6.8 rebounds a game, and 1.5 assists a game on 53% shooting, nine attempts a game from the field. He shot 78% from the line. He averaged 1.5 blocks a game. He would be a slam dunk addition. He's also from Westchester, Pennsylvania. That's probably the biggest allure to Rutgers. He's only an hour away from campus. I think he'd be a massive addition. Obviously, he's not in the portal yet, but he's a guy I would closely monitor if he does, because I think Rutgers, given the familiarity with him, given the need at the position, I think it'd be a no-brainer for Rutgers to at least reach out and try and land this kid. Now, Jerry Corino had mentioned a international guy.
Technically yet, but
he didn't commit yet.
Yeah, it sounds promising. Like Trilly said, nothing's come across on this end of things, but it does sound like there might be like a verbal between player and someone at Rutgers.
Got it.
I don't know how much else I could say.
Yeah, don't burn any sources there. But anyway, the last big man possibility that we had is potentially having an international player. Now,
yes,
Jerry Corino had mentioned that Pikul was kind of exhausting all avenues this offseason, one of them being an international player. Mm-hmm. I kind of dove headfirst into that and thought, like, okay, we haven't really gone after international players with much regularity in the past. You know, that Taron Armstrong kid is kind of the exception to that. And international, I say, you know, we have landed, you know, Cliff, but while he is an international player, he played high school ball in the States. And the same thing for basically everybody else. Like, Watt is not from the United States, but he played at Prolific Prep. He played in the U.S. Now, when did Pikul have an opportunity to have an extended look at international players? Well, he did see the U19 FIBA World Cup this past summer when he was going to see Dylan Harper. And there was a bunch of international players that you obviously would see while you're watching the U.S. play. Now, I don't have any specific names, but I think if anybody wants to do a deep dive, I would look into the rosters of the players that Rutgers commit Dylan Harper played against in the summer. I know that they played 7 games while they were there. So there was 7 other teams they played. I don't have the names of those teams, but that would be the lead I would chase down.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Before we get too way far off topic, I want to go back to the Chinyelu kid. he's interesting for the sole fact. I know you said he had some foul issues. Now, this is where it could work out, where you don't necessarily need an experienced big man. You want an experienced big man, in my opinion, first and foremost. But if you can't get that guy, Chinyelu would make sense because you can kind of split his minutes with Somerville, I feel like. Somerville's going to play a lot this year. Now, if you get like an experienced Amari Williams, Somerville's probably not playing a lot. You get a Chinyelu, you get a guy that has experience, can play a little bit, maybe play 15 to 20 minutes a game, maybe even more, 25, and then give that other 15 to Somerville. And then you have kind of some options because Somerville's a good passer. He's a good scorer. He's got a guard skill set as a big man. So it's like, it just makes things a little more interesting when you have a guy like that on the bench. So just an idea.
Definitely. I mean, we've been hyping Lathan up all off season, so you don't need to convince me that he's going to be a big time contributor this upcoming season, especially if we don't land one of the top portal big men in the country.
Real quick, country wise, Turkey, France, Japan, China, Lebanon, Slovenia, and Madagascar. I'm assuming you could probably eliminate like 2 or 3 of those right away. I'm just guessing. I'm assuming based on the score. Madagascar doesn't have anyone because they lost 136-69. But the other ones would be interesting. Like Turkey's produced a couple in the past couple years. China obviously produces. Slovenia has some shooters. France isn't Wemby from France?
Wemby is from France. Yep.
There you go. So I'd go look at some box scores if I were bored and not doing anything today. Oh, that's what I'm going to do.
Lots to look into there. The last thing that I have on the schedule here is the McDonald's All-American game is being played tomorrow. Ace and Dylan are on the West squad. The game is at 9:00 on ESPN. Today, they're actually having a scrimmage on ESPNU at 1:00. If you wanted to see them scrimmage, see a little game action. I know that both Ace and Dylan have been getting a ton of hype out of the practices from different outlets. So it'll be interesting to see them on the court. I know that Ace and Cooper Flagg are kind of battling it out for the top spot in the class. To see them both on the court at the same time in an actual game setting will be really cool, because the last time they played was at Rucker Park this summer, and which was basically just a pickup game. So
yeah, 60-60, right? They each had 50 or 60 points or something like that.
Yeah, it was a lot of scoring. Yep.
Speculation on my part, just because he just entered the portal. Omaha Bleu.
Yeah, from one of Iowa State.
Yeah, played on Team USA with Dylan and just entered the portal yesterday. One of the days.
I'm not holding my breath there, but there is a connection.
Yeah. Hey, we did the same thing with Armstrong, technically.
That's true.
So you never know.
That is but, true.
Yeah, we'll just wait and see. There's a lot of names out there.
The big difference is Armstrong's from New Jersey. Rutgers recruited him out of high school.
Yeah.
Bleu is not. And Rutgers didn't recruit him out of high school.
Very true. But Bleu, fun fact, if I'm reading this correct, I think he was in Canada before the U.S.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
Anyway, we've gone pretty long on this. Is there anything we missed out on that you wanted to hit on before you head out?
Stop following for all these Twitter accounts. I know it's April Fool's, so it makes it worse, but like there's like these, all these rando Twitter guys think they're insiders and they're not. I just have to throw that out there. And it's, you're just, honestly, they're just hurting the program. They're not even helping the program. It's making things worse. So don't believe any Rutgers Twitter insider, or like there's like four of them now. Like it's just a new account. He has 30 followers. This one has 100 followers. Like just don't believe him. You see like all the Rutgers fans like tweeting about him now. But yeah, that's all I really got.
All right, guys. Well, thanks once again for listening. This is probably going to be a busy week with football practices happening multiple times, with big time visit coming this weekend for basketball, and just the portal being the portal, things could happen and probably will happen. So stay tuned to your podcast feed, stay tuned to the boards, because we will have all the pertinent information about Rutgers sports directly into your veins as soon as they happen. So for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Report Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.